Hello, I'm Sarah Dawn of Sarah Dawn's Designs.
I'm Linda at Identity Papers.
Hi, I'm Charlie, and my shop is named Homestyle Charlie.
Hi, I'm Julie from Jewels in the Garden.
Hi, it's Jennifer Lamb from Jen's Books on the Bay.
Hi, I'm Tess.
And I'm Julie, and this is the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the seller content team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn. The Etsy Success Podcast is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Our goal is to empower, inspire, and motivate you to be the entrepreneur you want to be.
This podcast is brought to you by Etsy, where millions of people around the world connect to make, sell, and buy unique goods. Follow your passion and start your Etsy business today. So today we're talking about being a late bloomer and finding your creative calling later in life.
Yeah, a lot of times people think that you have to start practicing a skill from a young age and that after a certain point you're too old or it's too late to learn something new.
Or they think that they'll never be good enough because other people started way earlier than they did.
And that's definitely not the case, especially if you ask our guests for today's show.
That's right. We'll be talking with Lisa Condon, who didn't start painting until she was in her 30s. Lisa, who is based in Portland, Oregon, now runs a successful Etsy shop that shares her name. She sells colorful illustrated prints, cards, totes, and other gifts, many of which have hand-lettered uplifting messages like, "Today is going to be awesome," and "Shine on." We'll be talking about what inspired her to pursue art following a career in education, as well as how she's tackled the challenges of imposter syndrome, risk-taking, burnout, and building a robust online following. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
You had kind of a unique start. You had a whole career working as a teacher and then at a nonprofit. Now you make a full-time living as an artist and you teach others how to do it too. You've even authored several books, including Art Inc., The Essential Guide for Building Your Career as an Artist. So tell us how you got into art.
Well, I grew up in a home where there was always making happening. My mom is a quilter and I learned to sew when I was really young, but I never would have considered myself artistic at all. And so, I did the usual thing of like going off to college and studying something that was completely, like cerebral. I studied history and decided that I was either going to be a lawyer or a teacher. And I ended up being a teacher. From there, I went to work at a nonprofit organization. And all the while I was in my 20s and early 30s, to sort of entertain myself, I would do creative projects. I also was in a relationship with somebody who was an artist, and that really kind of exposed me to a lot of things. And while I didn't actually start making stuff myself until I was in my early 30s, I was sort of deeply steeped in going to museums and reading books about art. So I credit her with a lot of that. So all of that sort of led me to take a painting class when I was in my early 30s, which I really loved. And so I never imagined that I could do anything with my interest in art, but I kind of kept at it. I kept taking classes. And then in around 2004, I joined Flickr and started sharing pictures of the stuff I was making quite innocently, like to the 5 people who followed me. And my sister had a blog. She's also a maker and a crafter. And I decided to start a blog. And over the course of the next few years, the internet started to become this space for people to share what they were making. And the DIY movement started and Etsy started. And like all of these things started happening. And it was very exciting to me. Meanwhile, I still had my full-time job, but I was making more things and sharing more things on the internet and on my blog. And then in 2007, I started my Etsy shop, which now is 10 years old. The rest is sort of history. And I kind of fell into illustration. Initially I thought I would probably just be a fine artist, which means I would just make original works and sell them, right? I didn't really even know what illustration was. I didn't know what anything was, really. I just sort of like learn by reading and watching other people and trying to figure stuff out because there really weren't the same resources that there are now. So I was really kind of came into it on the early side.
Happy 10-year Etsy anniversary.
Thank you.
I hadn't put that together. That's a big milestone.
Yes.
Since I've been at Etsy since 2007, I've been charting your career all along.
It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I was wondering, how did you prepare to make the transition from being an artist on the side to making it your career and your livelihood?
Well, I did it really slowly and incrementally. I think sometimes people imagine that you sort of jump off this cliff, because whenever you start a business, you're not going to make a lot of money. You know, there's like a handful of people who really, you know, hit a gold mine right out the door. But most of us, it takes years. And so, and I knew that. I kept my job for a while. And then the next thing I did is I went part-time at the job. And I was really lucky to work for a nonprofit organization that allowed me to do that. Simultaneously, I opened a store in San Francisco at the time, like a storefront where we sold handmade things with my friend. So that when I finally did leave my job, I wasn't relying just on my own art to support me in the beginning. I also had another source of income. I was freelance and I had more flexibility in my schedule to make art and to fill my orders and all of that. But I had this other thing going on. And then a few years later, my friend and I sold the store to someone else and I became a full-time artist in around 2010. But, you know, it's like for the first 3 years that I even had my Etsy shop, I was still doing other things besides making art. And in around 2010 or 11 is when my career really took off and I started making my full-time living and having pretty incredible opportunities.
Yeah. So what were some of those opportunities that happened right when your career started to take off?
Well, a few things happened. I signed with an illustration agent in 2008. And even after I signed with her, like not a whole lot happened for the first couple of years. But in 2010, I started to get a lot of illustration work, both because my agent, she, you know, was working on my behalf to try to like promote my work and, you know, help me build my portfolio. But I also was myself just sort of understood that getting my name and my brand out there in as many ways that I could was really important. And so I joined Twitter, I joined Facebook, and I got a Facebook fan page. And, you know, this was way before Instagram, but, you know, I just started taking advantage of all of the places that people could find me, and people started finding me that way. And I started working pretty exclusively with Chronicle Books. I developed a relationship with them early on, which has really kind of changed the face of my career. So I started getting illustration clients. I was getting publishing work, illustrating other people's books. And eventually I, you know, did my own first book in 2011 as well. And I really credit that with my sort of like, even though it made me really nervous to constantly put my work out there, I used to refer to it as like being my own pimp, you know, like that I was literally pimping my own work. And that is a really vulnerable place to be when you're starting out, right? That like, look at what I made today. And like, here's another thing. And like, if you've been doing it a long time, you kind of get used to that feeling of being vulnerable and putting your work into the world and sharing it with people. But when you first start doing it, it can feel really scary. But I just kept doing it anyway. Like I was like, I know this, I have, you know, I didn't go to art school. I didn't even at the time know very many other artists. And so I was like, if anyone's going to get to know me and what I do, it's up to me. And I have to use, like, there's all these resources online that are free. So I'm going to use them. And I'm going to just, even though it feels uncomfortable, I'm just going to keep using them. And that's really what allowed me to have more opportunities, because people started following me. And once people start following you and you build your audience, your work will start to sell. It's not always like rapid fire immediately, but it will happen over time.
Yeah. So what are some of your biggest struggles and challenges you've faced since you started?
I would say for me, like managing stress. In the beginning of my career, I was pretty stressed out about like just making money, right? And just paying my bills. And like this whole process of putting yourself and your work into the world is scary and hard. And that was stressful. And I think it is stressful for a lot of people who are starting out, or even I've been in this for 10 years and it still stresses me out sometimes. Like, it's just hard. Like sometimes I just want to crawl in a hole. You know, your work feels very personal to you, and selling it can feel really scary and hard. And then, you know, as my career grew, then the stress became around managing my time and my career and my opportunities and the decisions that I made about what to say yes to and what to say no to. And there was that period where I was really busy, but I wasn't making enough money to hire somebody to help me. And I feel like 10 years in, I'm just getting a handle on like figuring out what balance in my life looks like, because being a maker and trying to sell your work is really, it's hard. It's really hard. And I think it's something we don't talk about enough. That's why on social media, I'll sometimes say, I had a really crappy day today, or like, this part of running a business is really hard. And I appreciate it when other people, especially successful people, do that also, because I think it's important for people to realize that, like, I used to imagine that if I just had a certain amount of success, that all of a sudden my career was going to be easy. And what I found was that was actually the opposite of that was true. The more work I got, the more stressed out I was. And you think that opportunity is the key to like, having an easier life, but it actually can make your life more complicated. But now I'm figuring out, like, oh, I have to actually let go of some things that I enjoy because I can't do it all and I can't say yes to everything. And I think people imagine that, you know, I'm sitting back like just listening to classical music and drawing all day.
You're not doing that.
It's not. And even when I am, I'm sometimes having angst about what I'm drawing. You know what I mean? Like being a creative person is hard. It's not just hard in the beginning. It's always hard. Now, it also can be really joyful and fulfilling, but it's a job. As Elizabeth Gilbert says, it's both magical and not magical at the same time.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about vulnerability, and you have these bags and prints in your shop that say, I am an artist. And I was wondering, when did you start being able to confidently reply, I am an artist, when people ask you what you do?
Well, I think now is probably a good time to talk about this idea of imposter syndrome. If anyone listening doesn't know that term, it's this syndrome where even successful people feel like they don't deserve the success they've gotten, or that they're somehow an imposter in this world, and that at any moment they're going to be found out. And so I was having a really hard time just claiming my identity as an artist. Even saying to somebody at a party, like people would be like, what do you do? I'd be like, I don't know, you know, because it felt like I was faking it or pretending because I had never gone to school and I didn't, you know, I started later in life. I wasn't legit, that I didn't really have the credentials, or, you know, that my work wasn't good enough. And what I came to find out is that a lot of people felt that way. You know, like if you think about all the things that make you feel legitimate or appear legitimate to other people, like to so that you can claim your identity as a successful person or an artist or whatever, it's like schooling and education and followers and money and sales and press and experience. But part of the problem is that 98% of the time, it takes years to grow those things. So in the meantime, it's like, oh, someday I hope to be legitimate. But in the meantime, who am I and what am I while I'm trying to grow my business? So what I did was I focused on all the stuff I had control over. You know, things like getting up every day and doing the work and being kind and open to my customers, focusing on things like that instead of whether or not other people saw me as a legitimate artist. And then it was like all of those things actually led to my business growing. And then I started to feel like I had a legitimate business and that my work was good. And that really helped me sort of claim my identity as an artist.
So for other artists listening or people who are aspiring to make a living from their art, what are your top tips?
Well, I think the first thing to remember that really this is about like showing up and working hard and like doing the work. If you are in the habit of like looking at other people who are doing what you want to do or doing it at the level that you're doing it, like we imagine that they've always had a certain level of sales or success, but really everyone goes through this arc or several arcs in their career, you know, this like notion that of overnight success, and just remembering that that doesn't exist. You know, one of the things that sort of connected to that is this idea that you build a community with other people. Etsy forums, you have Instagram, you have Facebook groups where you can learn from and build relationships and friendships with other people, and to use those relationships, whether they're there on the internet or like in your own community in real life, to help you get through that time. Because I really do feel like it feels really hard because you're not getting a lot in return for all the hard work you're doing. And so like staying in that space and not giving up and using your community to support you to stay in that space and to not give up is important. Now, at some point, there's certain aspects of your business you might want to give up on, right? Because they're just not working. So you also have to pay attention to data, like what are my customers or what is social media telling me about how people are responding to what it is I'm making, and using that as data to drive what to do more of.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your Instagram and social media. On Instagram alone, you have more than 132,000 followers. But I know sometimes being in the spotlight as a public figure like that, you might receive some unpleasant comments sometimes too. So how have you handled critics and trolls?
For me, like I've been really lucky compared to some people. I would say 98% of the people that I interact with on my Instagram and other places are just incredibly kind and generous and lovely. But you're right, like every now and again, especially if I post anything remotely political or something about, you know, I'm gay. So like, I might post something about, you know, my wife. And those are the times when people feel like, you know, they can say something to you that's cruel. And so it's hard. But I think one of the things that has led to me having a vastly positive experience with my followers is that I've grown my following really authentically. If you grow your following authentically, meaning by people who just discover you through other people or through being tagged or looking for people who make work that they are drawn to, those followers are generally going to be so much kinder. Sometimes we wish that our followings would grow much more rapidly because we associate that with having, you know, sales or whatever. And it's true, like those, you know, your following does lend to sales, but taking your time and growing it slowly can benefit you because you're not going to get as many trolls and mean people. But you know, when it happens and when people leave abjectly cruel things, either about me or other people on my feed, I delete the comments. There's no space for that. But you know, if people are genuinely, you know, just sort of misguided or whatever, usually I just leave it and let my other followers sort of work it out. And, you know, those things hurt, especially if they're directed at me. But like I said, most of the time I don't have to deal with it. And I've been really lucky in that way compared to some people.
Okay, Lisa, it's time for the lightning round.
All right.
We've invited Etsy sellers in the forums and on social media to submit their questions for you. And we got a lot of great ones. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, first question. Ed Malin from Malin's Handmade asks, how did you find your target market?
I think first by paying attention, like who's commenting, what do their profiles say about them? It's, I think, important to sort of pay attention to who's buying you your work. And also by experimentation, trying various ways to market and sell stuff and seeing what works.
All right. Stock Lane Studio says, you've worked for some well-known companies. Did you pursue them or did they find you?
I would say mostly they found me, which begs the importance of putting your work into the world. You want to give people the opportunities to find you. I teach a class called So You Want to Be an Illustrator, which you can find on my site. And I talk in that class about, I think there are two approaches. One is what I call build it and they will come, which is essentially like putting your work onto the internet and doing that really consistently and sort of building a brand and then gaining followers who find you, including companies who follow you and find you and offer you work and opportunities to collaborate. And then there's the pitching approach, which is completely valid. And I've used a little bit of that as well, where you go to a company that you're really interested in and you are very strategic about, you know, sharing with them your, you know, what's in your portfolio and what you're interested in working on with them. And that can also lead to opportunities. And I advocate using both approaches.
Okay, last one. Reform Fiber asks, what lessons would you teach an artist just starting out?
The main one is to get up and do the work every day. There is no shortcut to success. You got to get up and do the work. And it can feel really hard and exhausting, but especially in the beginning, but is important in order to get to the next place.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story and your advice. We wish you massive continued success. And as the cards in your Etsy shop say, you rock.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you for having me.
Before we go, we'd like to leave you with Shop Talk. For each episode, we'll post in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels asking a new question for you to answer by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. This week, we asked you what you like best about running your own business. Here are a few of our favorites.
Hi, I'm Emily from Bound by Emily Magone. And what I like best about running my own business is being an example for other women and other artists, particularly female artists, women painters, to show that it is possible to do what you love and be successful.
Hi, my name's Laura from Laura Jane Fashion, and the thing I love the best about running my own business is the fact that my customers come from all over the world. I really love traveling and meeting new people, and I think that Etsy has really opened my eyes to a world of amazing customers. And I really only ever thought that I'd be selling my head wraps, bow ties, and other items of clothing in the UK. But through being on Etsy and through running my own business, I've been able to find customers all the way from Nigeria to Australia to America. And I think it's such an exciting thing, being a part of such an amazing community.
Hi, I'm Olivia, owner of Little Lapas. What I love most about running my own business is the freedom it's given me. I'm a mum of two little girls, and I get to spend a lot more time with them, and I can work around my own, or should I probably say their, schedule. The buzz I get when I get great feedback is just amazing. I still can't believe it sometimes that I've made a living out of doing what I truly love. And I don't have to wear makeup or a uniform. I can listen to my own choice of music. I can steer my business in the direction I want to take it.
Be sure to keep an eye on the forums and the Etsy Success social channels for ways that you can participate in a future podcast. That's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.